The local church pastor can wear a lot of different hats. The hospital chaplain, the preacher, the Bible study teacher, the wedding officiant, the counselor, perhaps even the chairman of the board. Sometimes the vocation of the pastor can get confused with the call to pastoral ministry. And today on the Five Gifts podcast, we look at one of the five gifts that Jesus gave the church in his ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of the pastor. And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts podcast. As always, we're glad that you're checking in with us, whether that's on a Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning or maybe later in the week. We're excited that you've taken the time to come and check out us. Today, Charles is out, so I'm going to be going solo. And before we get started, we have an exciting announcement. It's the launch of our Servant Leadership Cohort, where active ministers can earn a master's or a doctorate of ministry.
Are you a Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? Consider the Servant Leaders Cohort and earn your master's or doctorate of ministry. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your master's in 12 to 15 months or a DMIN within 2 years. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Now today on the Five Gifts podcast, we're looking at the gift of the pastor. Not so much the vocation, as much as the purpose of the pastoral gift that Jesus gives to his church. Now when we think about the pastor, we want to ask a few questions, such as what are some of the dynamic factors that shape the vocation of the local church pastor? And what is going to drive the implementation of the pastoral gift in the local church? Now, things that tend to drive the vocational ministry of the local church pastor is portfolio. It's the agreement with the church. It's what the nameplate on your office door implies. And again, they can be tied to traditional or cultural expectations in that church. For example, many times, the vocation of the pastor is driven by the felt needs of the congregation, and so pastors can easily find themselves enmeshed in the functions of ministry. They're chaplains. They're making lots of home visits. Sometimes they can become the CEOs of the church. And believe it or not, some pastors can become the default CFOs, the accountants, where they have to manage budgets and control things like spending. And then, of course, pastors are always expected to preach well, to exposit the Word of God well. And that can be preaching as many as 3 or 4 times a week. So when we think about those needs, what happens is the vocation of ministry begins to absorb all of the pastor's energy and time. And what can get lost is the real urgent need for pastoral ministry. What happens is when the pastoral gift is not activated fully in the local church, then what happens is that little to no relationships are formed or exist or are strong enough to connect the body and provide pathways that channel and release the activity of God within the local church. When the pastor initiates connected relationships as a shepherd, when he can begin to bring people together and gather them and connect them in the life of the church, then we begin to create conduits of the life and power of Christ to fulfill his vision in the church and his work in the world. And that is why returning to the gifts in Ephesians 4 is so vital. It returns us to Jesus' empowerment and his desire to fill the church with himself and begin the outflow of his life and power into the community, into the city, into the world. Now, once we go there, you might find another dilemma, because in the ascension gifts of Jesus, you'll know that there's not just one gift. There's multiple gifts. There's the gift of the apostolic, the prophetic, the teacher, the evangelist. Maybe even a group into 2 to 3 gifts could exist in any leader's life and ministry. And so you may find that though you're serving in the portfolio of your local church as the senior pastor, the lead pastor, even an associate pastor, what you may find is that your giftings may be more aligned in the apostolic or prophetic or evangelistic, or again, maybe a grouping of the two or three gifts. And so then you're thinking, gosh, if I'm not gifted to pastor, then what do I have to offer the church? What am I doing in this position? Well, let me assure you that sometimes the local church pastor is the portfolio, but God is wanting to work through you through the gift of leadership that Jesus provides for the church. Now, how do I implement the gift of the pastor if that's really not my gifting? Well, first of all, let's go back to the one who called you. What are some of the components of every leader? There are many things that form the capability and the potential of any spiritual leader. It can be personality, it can be their vision, it can be their sense of mission or passion. It's the spiritual life of Christ within them. And it does involve the spiritual gifts. But one thing that's often missed is character. Character is foundational. I like to think of character in the life of the minister as the base of the arrow shaft. It's called the nock. And when you think about how the knot connects to the string of the archer's bow, then you begin to see that character is what connects the knot to Jesus's bow. If my character is out of alignment, then I compromise the aim of the master. So who fills and forms my character? It's the Spirit of Christ. He fills me with Jesus's nature. He fills me and shapes me to become something else. He shapes me to become someone else. He's building my inner life to look like Jesus' inner life. That's really is the work of the Holy Spirit. So my relationship with the Father, like Jesus' relationship with the Father, is where I begin to derive my sense of purpose and character. I begin to think like He thinks. I begin to love people like He loves people. I begin to lead like Jesus leads. Now I know that seems far-fetched, but that really is the outcome of a Spirit-filled life. I grow in temperament and patience and submission as the Holy Spirit fills and forms me. And the result is that I bring Jesus's character within me into His purpose for my life, in my leadership, in my local church. Now remember, we say this time and time again on the Five Gifts podcast, that all of Christ's ascension gifts are servant gifts. They can only be expressed in the fullness in the posture of serving. I'm reminded in John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Everyone who studied that passage knows that in other accounts in the Gospel of John, that Jesus uses that phrase often. In Greek, it's ego ami, but it's the I am statements. And so in this case, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good pastor. It's essential to my nature. This is who I am. So when I think about the local church pastor that is filled with the Spirit of Christ, even though your gifting may lie in the apostolic more than pastor, or maybe in the evangelist or the prophetic or the teacher more so than pastor, remember that Christ's character is in you. Christ's nature is in you. So be Christ in character. Serve people. Wash others' feet. Lay down your life for others. Shepherd the flock. Love the bride. Look and listen for the activity and word of the Father. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we should be doing as well. One of my favorite observations on the idea of spiritual formation is by Dallas Willard, the late Dallas Willard. And he said that our aim under love is not to be a loving to this or that person, or in this or that kind of situation, but to be a person possessed by love as an overall character of life. Whatever is or is not going on, the occasions are met with from that overall character. Now listen, he says, "I do not come to my enemy and then try to love them. I come to them as a loving person." Now let me say this about pastors in the local church. You don't come trying to adjust yourself to situations. You bring yourself into situations. So don't try to come and be pastor. Come to people as a pastoral person. Don't come to people trying to serve them and fill some obligation or vocation. Come to them as a Christ-centered, serving, loving person. You can also think of your character in relation to a simple XY equation. For example, I have certain gifts of Jesus, but as a leader growing in all the character of Jesus, the gifts are going to look different. Even on our podcast, Charles and me are vastly different when it comes to our set of gifts. And even you have different gifts than I do. But remember, the character is all Jesus. So if Y in the equation is your gift, X in the equation is your gift, whether it's pastor, teacher, or prophetic evangelist, or apostolic pastor. Remember, even though the gifts are different, the character is all Jesus. And so in the equation, X might be the gifts, Y is the consistency of Christ's character in our life. So what I bring to leadership may not be, or may not have, a strong gift of pastor, but I still bring the being of the leader, someone who loves like Jesus, thinks about people like Jesus, attends to the formation of Christ's church the way Jesus would. We never try to implement effective strategies. We always come to strategies with the character of Christ. Now, what are some of the strategies associated with the pastoral gift? Well, let's think of some action steps. Now, these would be the minimal movements that a leader brings pastorally to any church. In a church plant or a smaller church, it's going to be the leader initiating these actions, the leader himself or herself. You may find in a larger church with developed teams that the leadership team will begin taking these actions as a team. But first, to initiate pastoral leadership and implement it in the local church, we need to first invite the pastoral empowerment of Christ to flow through leaders. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "Stir up the gift of God within you, fan it into a flame." And the images of someone stoking the fires or the coals beneath the fire to begin to cause the campfire to become hotter, more ablaze. And so we're instructed to do that when it comes to the gifts of God in us. We're called to invite and stir those up, to seek continued infilling of the Holy Spirit, to continue to keep yourselves pressed into the heart of the Father in your devotional time, to keep looking for opportunities to exercise those gifts. So invite the pastoral empowerment of Christ. Charles and I say it all the time, but all the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the local church begin with prayer, and especially the leadership gifts of Ephesians 4:11. So invite the pastoral empowerment. Ask God to release the gift of pastor throughout the whole church. Begin to mine those people in your church that God is uniquely gifting in pastoral way. That's one reason as a leader, if you look at your gifts and say, you know, I don't see a strong pastoral gift in me, even though I'm the vocational pastor of the church, even though that's my portfolio, then it's vital that you begin to attract and grow and develop people that have that gift and begin to help them lean into that leadership potential. Think of the qualities of the pastoral gift and ask yourself, what qualities are you asking God to raise up? What are the pastoral images of Jesus that tend to be percolating in your heart and mind? What are the pastoral images of New Testament apostles and leaders? And begin to pray over those and begin to ask God to begin to release those kinds of gifts, those kinds of ministries, those kinds of strengths in your local church. So again, invite the pastoral empowerment of Christ to begin to flow through leaders and equip that local church. Secondly, pastors initiate leaders, you initiate the gift of pastor by engaging in fellowship and hospitality. That's vital to bond relationships within the body of Christ. One of the images of Jesus that I so love is when he's standing before Jerusalem and he begins to weep and he says, you know, Jerusalem, you've rebelled against the prophets even to the point of killing them. And you've rejected the revelation of the Lord. And what I desire to do is to gather you as a mother hen does her chicks. That really is the heart of the pastor. The pastoral gift is about gathering the people that are in the field, bringing them into safety and into a place where they feel secure, where they feel loved and cared for, where their needs can be touched, where their wounds can be healed. And that really is one of the beautiful images of the pastoral gift at work in the local church. It creates that environment for strong, connected relationships. It communicates kingdom hospitality in your particular culture. Now, what are the strategic spaces where we need to engage fellowship and hospitality? We need to be mindful of those spaces in the local church. And one of the ways to think about space in your local church is from a book by Joseph Myers entitled Rethinking Intimacy. And he takes the four, what he calls interpersonal zones that were developed by another sociologist by the name of Ed Hall. And these are characterized specifically in Western culture, but they're those places of interaction that can lead to next level connection, but they need different approaches. For example, in public meeting space, according to Ed Hall, which we might think of greater than 12 feet of space, those are those impersonal interactions. That's the grocery store, that's the bleachers at your kid's soccer game. Again, there's distance, there's space. You're around people that you may recognize from time to time, but you don't really know. And that happens in the local church. There's those public meeting spaces of the foyer, the parking lot. And then you have the social space. That's that 4 to 12 feet. It's a meeting space that's casual, that's professional. You may be thinking, you know, our kids play on the same team, and you begin to recognize the people in the stands. And so 12 feet is reduced because of familiarity. Our kids play on the same soccer team. Our kids play on the same football team. For me, for 14 and a half years, it was watching my daughter swim. And so it was recognizing other swim parents. And that created some casual relationship. Nothing deep, nothing intimate, nothing super close. It was our kids swim on the same swim team. That's the same thing that happens in the local church. You may look at people you don't really know, but you can say, hey, we both attend this local church. We both attend First Assembly. We both attend Calvary. We both attend Freedom. Or you may even think denominationally, you know, hey, we're AG. We are Church of God. We are part of this local church. So that's social space. And then there's the personal space. That's 18 to 48 inches in Hall's research. That's close, but it's not too close. But what happens when we shrink from the social space of 4 to 12 feet to the personal space of 18 to 48 inches? Well, that's where conversations happen. That's where on the bleachers, you're not just recognizing people whose kids are on the same swim team or the same soccer team or the same baseball team. You're talking to people about life. You're experiencing conversation. The relationship is suddenly gone from casual to informational, and there's an exchange that takes place. You begin to talk about what your kids act like at home. You begin to interact with what you really like about your coach, or what you wish your coach did differently in their training regimen. But those personal conversations begin to happen when the space gets shorter. And then the intimate space, that's what Hall describes, something up to 18 inches. That's where people can share themselves. That's where I'm not just looking for information from someone else to know them better. It's where I'm beginning to give information to help them to know me better. Now, public belonging happens through external experiences that are shared in common with others as a group, such as a preference for coffee at Starbucks. What happens in the local congregation is that people can share a sense of belonging and congeniality just by attending the same church, but that familiarity creates a point of entry where the relationships can progress further in relationship and formation. Ironically, it's those latter two spaces, it's that personal space, that intimate space, where transparency and trust and honesty are vital, and where spiritual formation can begin to happen, where we can begin to help people grow in their faith, where we can help them begin to work through some faith issues in their own life. And that can happen in small groups. It can happen in one-to-one coaching and mentoring. But that's vital. Now, thirdly, we want to join relationships in teams, small units, groups, informational classes. That's where we begin to put the vitality of the church in each other in a real meaningful point of connection. So joining relationships, again, that's the third strategy for implementing the pastoral gift. We've got to bring people together. Now, what teams exist and how can we begin to build cohesion? That may be the question you ask in your own situation. You're not looking for something new. You're not looking for a new group to start. You want to begin to work with the groups that you already have. You want to look through your church and think, who are the key connectors in the life of this church? And are they in the position of influence that they need? So that may involve some recruiting as well as creating those class or those small group environments. And then what assignments do we need to articulate to our leadership in those instances? Again, bringing people together in those teams is vital. And then fourthly, and the last strategy that we'll talk about today, is connecting, attaching believers, kind of like ligaments and skeletons in the body. The reason that's so important is if you think about how your body functions, you can have huge biceps and you can have great quads and strong hamstrings and defined traps, but if those muscles are not connected to the bone structure of the body, if they don't have the ligaments in place, then what you have is a disconnected body and all of its strength is wasted. So relational engagement is what brings health and life to the body. Ephesians 4:12 speaks of the equipping of the saints. These five gifts that Jesus gives the church, including the pastoral gift, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And Paul says it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that word in verse 12, to edify, occurs through the equipping of the saints. The basic idea of equipping, or what the Greek word is katartismos, conveys the sense of preparation. In fact, it's the same word that when Jesus comes upon the disciples and they're mending their nets, that's what that means. It's a word of mending. But it also finds application in the physician's terminology of setting a bone. So relational engagement is what brings connections that prepare and sometimes repair in the equipping of the saints. Sometimes believers come and they just need some training. They need your help to grow to the next level. And they need that environment of small group. They need that environment of perhaps a particular Bible study. And so there's preparation that can take place in their life. But a lot of times, you know, I have people in our local church and they're hurting. They're broken. And believe me, if you live in a world that's under the prince of the power of the air long enough, you will get burned. You will get wounded. You will get hurt. And in the local church, it should be an environment for the repairing of the saints. As much as we want to prepare them, sometimes it takes the healing work of Jesus in the local church to bring people out of pain, to bring people out of woundedness, to bring them to a sense of wholeness and healing. And so every member's growth includes moving toward that inward formation of Christ with the support of a spiritual community. Essentially, think about this. Every believer in the local church is going to move to greater community, but always through community. So if you go back to the four spaces we talked about earlier, we want to strategize. How can we keep people moving deeper? How can we begin to engage people in public and move them into a more casual relationship? Just go one step at a time. Or how can we take people that we know casually and begin to move them into the personal space? Remember, personal space and intimate space, that's where connection and spiritual formation can really happen. So those are some important keys. Remember, let me give you those again. Again, we want to invite the pastoral empowerment of Christ. We want to engage people in fellowship and hospitality so that we can bond those relationships within the congregation. We want to join people in relationships through teams, smaller units. Again, small groups, informational classes, specialized studies. And then fourthly, attach people just like ligaments to the body, to create a strong structure. Again, every member's growth includes moving toward that inward spiritual formation of Jesus within them, but that takes the help of a spiritual community. Essentially, remember, a believer moves toward community through community. Well, thank you for joining us on today on the Five Gifts podcast. Please, as always, remember to like, follow, subscribe, and share. We are blessed and pleased to announce an educational cohort that we're starting, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, a cohort for people that are active in ministry to obtain their master's, even their doctorate. The format includes in-person instruction, coaching, and mentoring, a small group atmosphere, and you can complete your master's degree in 12 to 15 months or your DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, you can check that out at fivegifts.org/SLC. Remember our new website at fivegifts.org. As Charles can't be with us today, but you can reach out to Charles. Charles has a fantastic way of training leaders, and you can reach him for coaching, mentoring, and some skill development at charlesrussellministries.com or charlesrusselltraining.com. You can also reach out to me at my personal website at coachingcardia.com. I'm available for coaching in the areas of spiritual formation as well as leadership development. And we're glad, again, that you've been with us today. We'll see you right here next week on the Five Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.